Hello and welcome to another episode of Keeping It Real, the only podcast made by Chicago real estate brokers for Chicago real estate brokers. My name is DJ Paris. I am your host and we will keep things rolling. Today we have a really fun interview with Greg Pekarsky of Vesta Preferred, and was really particularly interesting when we talked to Greg is where he believes the market is going and the rise of the boutique market. And we had a really fun conversation, so we're going to get to that in just a moment. But wanted to remind everyone to please continue to tell a friend. There are 42,000 realtors in the Chicagoland area, and we have thousands of them that listen to the show, and that is through the word of mouth of you, the listener, and we would love to have thousands more. So please continue to tell every broker you know who's interested in growing their business and also interested in learning what these top 1% producers are doing to grow their business. Of course, that's our intention. Please tell them about the podcast. And if you are not currently following us on Facebook, please do that. Look to search for Keeping It Real Pod. That's, you know, facebook.com/keepingitrealpod. You can also find us on our website where you can download every single episode we've ever done. You can stream it actually directly from the website, which is keepingitrealpod.com. And then lastly, remember to send in your questions. So every month we have all sorts of interviews with top producers. We've got Carrie McCormick, who wants to answer your questions. We have Eric Workman, who is an investor. We have Joel from Guaranteed Rate, who's going to answer your lending questions. Send us your questions to ask those experts. And now on to our interview with Greg Pekarsky. All right, today on the show, we have Gregory Pekarsky, who is one of the owners of Vesta Preferred. And I'm really excited to talk to Greg, but let's tell you a little bit about Gregory. He started Vesta Preferred with his business partner, Brad Robbins, in 2009, and they've built their business to become the number one independent Chicago-based team for buyer representation. Vesta's unique business model of excelling in luxury leasing coupled with first-time home buyer representation has created a competitive advantage yet to be matched by any other real estate company in Chicago. Both Gregory and Brad are Detroit natives, but have found their new home in beautiful Chicago. So welcome, Gregory. We appreciate you being on the show.
Thanks, DJ. Appreciate being here.
Yeah, I've actually been a huge admirer of what you guys have done for many, many years. And also all of the brokers that I've ever met that are Vesta brokers are well-trained, nice people, and seem to do a really good job. So, you know, that's just a little personal compliment to obviously what whatever you guys are doing over there, you're doing a great job. But tell us a little bit about yourself. How did you get into real estate?
Yeah, you know, it's actually a funny story. You know, I never thought about getting into real estate before. I just randomly found myself in it. I went to Michigan State for veterinary medicine, and I finished a full pre-vet degree before I realized I love animals, not so much being a veterinarian.
Right.
The last semester, I just changed to finance, and then honestly, I didn't know what I was going to do. I was kind of, you know, just, well, hopefully something falls in my lap. And then an opportunity actually did fall into my lap to come try real estate in Chicago. And being from Detroit, it's not that far. And I was like, yeah, why not? And then, you know, lo and behold, I fell in love with it. And, you know.
And what year was that you started?
January 2008. So right at the best time to be in real estate. Let me tell you that.
And so, you know, you founded a company in 2009. So you were just a year in and you decided to start your own thing.
Yeah. About 18 months plus, like 18 to 24 month mark. You know, I've always had the entrepreneurial mindset and, you know, the company I was at was fine and all, but I saw a big opportunity to do it better. You know, also being a naive, 24-year-old, thinking I could take on the world. I was like, sure, why not? Let's try it.
That's awesome. And when you first started, prior to starting, you know, your firm for that 18, 24 months, were you doing mostly leasing? Were you working with buyers, sellers? What was working for you at that time?
Yeah. So, you know, the unique nature about my business is I found a tremendous amount of success through luxury leasing.
Sure.
And that's actually what I'm very well known for in the city, is I brought a professional touch to an unprofessional side of the business, and also a side of the business that essentially has a black eye that a lot of people don't really give a lot of respect to. But I found, the success through representation of luxury leasing in the downtown area of Chicago, building up my network through there. And if you could think about it, everybody, when they were saying get out of real estate, that's because nobody was buying.
Right.
But my business was booming because everybody was renting. So while everybody was trying to figure out how to survive through sales, I was thriving through rentals. And then once it turned over, I mean, I had a whole network of people that were ready to buy.
It's such a brilliant strategy. And so I imagine, and you were working mostly with non-MLS rentals, right? The big property management companies, I'm assuming, were... and by the way, there's a lot of firms that do not build those relationships with those property management firms, the ones that have apartment buildings, high rises, you know, all the way down to, you know, single family homes for rent. The big property management companies almost never list their properties on the MLS. So occasionally you'll see it, but it's really rare. So I imagine you probably built those relationships, got those hot sheets, that availability on a regular basis. And probably there wasn't as much competition because brokers largely were either unaware about the luxury apartment business or just ignored it for whatever reason. Is that accurate at all?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a strenuous process to create these relationships. I mean, there's 100+ buildings downtown with individual personality, individual people to work with, individual property managers. And it's only, those relationships only come through, you know, hard work, due diligence and handshaking and, just kind of getting to know everybody. So, like you're absolutely right. You know, we represent the entire gamut of rentals. So, you know, when people want to see any kind of MLS properties, it's all fair and good. However, but for the most part, these management companies and these managed buildings are a better deal.
Sure.
So, you know, when you don't have to pay security deposits, when, you know, you can get them to waive the move-in fees and you get months off rent, it's like, why wouldn't you rent there? But you're absolutely right. You know, these big companies, I mean, they've tried to get into the rental game and everybody thinks, well, I'll just put, you know, my flag down that we do rentals now and it'll be fine. However, it's, you know, a whole thing of relationships, understanding what the inventory is, along with understanding how to work with renters, because it's a very different game than sales.
Right. Yeah. When renters really can find everything on Craigslist, or at least they can find a lot. It's the value proposition can be a bit trickier once that's been well explained. It's a no-brainer, but just getting the mindset of the average renter to use a broker is not always an easy thing. And so anyone that's able to do it successfully, I think that's such an awesome thing. Yeah. And just back to your idea of building the inventory, like most brokers would have no idea how to find, I mean, they could go on Craigslist and like just I start looking, I guess, but they're not going to know, hey, what are those 100 buildings downtown? How do I get access to the inventory? It's a big, arduous task. And I commend you for doing it. And then, like you said, setting yourself up for future buyers, it's brilliant. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, I'll give you what? I'll give you a little secret, as long as you won't share it with anybody.
sure.
We've built an incredible website that features almost all of those buildings and updates twice daily and has all the inventory. So, and we don't hide anything. All the addresses are there. And I tell the brokers that come up to me, Greg, how do I find out? What I said, just use my website. I'm open. I'm happy. Please, like, you know, everything is about making sure clients get the best information and getting that black eye away from this industry and getting people the information that they need. So I'm like, go on my website. You see the address. Just call that building and see if they work with brokers. I mean, I'm not going to do it for you, but my website is open to everybody. So that's a little secret, as long as you don't share it with anybody.
I turned off the microphone, so we were good. But what's funny is that for years and years, and I don't know how prevalent this still is, but brokers would post Craigslist ads for, you know, those types of buildings, and they would not list the address. And it's like, you know, just post the address. Yeah. There's no secrets.
I learned a long time ago is that if a client's going to screw you over, they're going to screw you over no matter what you do.
Agreed.
And if you can give them the right proper information and they know what they're going to be looking at, and you can show them that you, first off, we're a free service, right? So explaining to that proposition properly for them.
Good point.
I will set up all of these buildings for you. I will pick you up in my nicely clean car, as I make my clients have, I mean, my agents have, and we're going to drive you around, and I'm going to even maybe give you a cup of coffee, and you're going to have an amazing relationship with me. Then they're like, yeah, amazing. I don't know these buildings. I don't want to set this up. Just take me there. So just be honest, open, and truthful. A lot of these agencies still don't give you the addresses on where they're going to be going, as well as what you're going to be seeing. So a lot of people still are like, you know, this has been a waste of my time. I try to get that away from, like, we want to make sure that our clients are super happy with us from start to finish.
Awesome. And I love the passion. And I think that you're just absolutely dead on for building, you know, long-term great relationships. So congrats, my hat's off to you. So let's, because you have some very strong opinions. And I think what I was saying to you before we started recording, like, I think you're dead on about where the industry is going. Can you talk a little bit about that and sort of where you think things are headed?
I have a unique perspective on the real estate market simply because of owning a boutique firm now for almost 10 years. You know, and I've seen kind of where things are starting to head because of the rise of, you know, a lot of discount brokerages sure. that have popped up, that being like, hey, listen, you don't need to worry about anything else that we do. Here's some money to you so you can work with us. Right. And people have taken the bait and they've been like, okay, cool. Yeah. So, you know, and it's unfortunately a lot of people do have this mindset of like, what is a realtor's worth? Now, you know, having 2 million realtors, maybe there shouldn't be that many people doing this thing because, I mean, about 10% of us do 90% of the business. Right. So I got to say that for the most part, people's experiences, I can imagine isn't the best. So that's giving a void to let people think that, okay, there's no value. I think where the industry is going, it's going two routes. One, discount route, where people are like, you know what, just give me my money and you know, I don't really care so much about representation. I just want to see a fat check come to me sometime at the end of our transaction. Or the boutique route, the people that have built up a business like we have with super high-end customer service, a complete intricate knowledge of the market, a base where we know how we're going to get you more money for your listing with the proper marketing, with real, real, real focused effort. And that's going to be the side of the market that is going to be going on the luxury route, right? Where people understand value and they know that, hey, there might be something to, you know, getting a check, a number that you could just see, or there could be something to me making more money off of the sale or getting negotiated off more money off of proper representation by somebody that knows the market much better than anybody else, right? So work with you can work with door openers or you can work with professionals. That's up to you.
Yeah, it's very, very interesting. I think you're right. And I've noticed this from all the top 1%ers like yourself that we've interviewed that for this podcast is that they, you know, they, number one, don't understand how everyone isn't successful because they think, boy, there just really isn't that much competition. Like when it comes to brokers that really, really do a wonderful job. And there's obviously lots of them, but you're right. It's a very small percentage that have the vast majority of the business. And it's because they treat it like a real business. Obviously they do it such an amazing job that all of that, that broker's clients tell all of their friends and those relationships, you know, those clients aren't looking for the discount model. They're probably not even asking about it. They're just going, oh, I know that so-and-so is an amazing broker, so I'm just going to use them.
Paris, I'll tell you one thing. I know why the people aren't successful. It's because they don't work hard. That's it. Everybody asks me,
agreed.
What's your magic wand? How do you make people, you know, how do you do all these deals or whatever? I'm like, I don't know. I wake up at 6 a.m. every single day. I make 50 phone calls. I go out and I hustle and I bust my ass. Like, I mean, like, what do you want? And it's like, oh, okay. But like, what else can I do that, you know, I don't need it.
Right.
I'm like, get out of my office. I don't need to talk to you right now.
I'll tell you, this is really funny. And I'm not picking on this listener because he was nice enough to call me last night and say, hey, I've been listening to the podcast and I won't try to give any details away, but he's in his sixth month. He's a part-time broker. So he's working full-time in another job and he's finding it hard to sort of do both, which of course that would be difficult for anyone. And he goes, I'm having problem. Now he's in his sixth month. So I'd love to get your take on this. He said, I'm having a hard time doing listing presentations. And I paused for a second and I went, you're doing listing presentations in your sixth month. I said, how are you getting, are you buying leads? I don't understand. He goes, no. I'm calling FSBOs for sale by owners. And I was like, whoa. And he goes, as soon as they hear my pitch, they, you know, they're not that interested in me. And I'm like, well, yeah, you're 6 months in the business. You don't know enough to make those. First of all, those calls are really hard anyway, no matter how much time you've got in the business. But these are people that don't know you, and they're getting called by 10 other brokers anyway. Plus they're getting called by flat fee MLS companies. Like, that's a hard phone call. I'm like, why are you doing that? Like, go out and meet people, make relationships, learn the business, stop making these FSBO calls. But I was just shocked. I was like, who told you to do that on your first 6 months? Now, I love the discipline. Like, it's great. You're doing something. Yeah. But I'm like, boy, that is a tough road when you're brand new.
Well, you know, there's two things there, right? When you say part-time, I don't let anybody in my company that works part-time, because I tell my agents, when you come to my company, I only set you up to succeed. Do not set you up to fail. By allowing you to work part-time, I know that we're setting you up to fail, because that's not what our process is. Secondly, I would ask that guy, are you making 100 phone calls a day? Because right now what it looks like for FSBO is you need to make 100 phone calls to potentially land maybe 3 interviews, which could potentially land you 1 listing, right? Thirdly, you're doing this part-time. This is your 6 month in. What are you telling them? Have you worked on your pitch? Do you understand what you're talking about? Do you understand valuations? What is your... like, what's the professional marketing behind what you got to, going on? And that's what I come back to, where it's like these monster brokerages that have thousands upon thousands upon thousands of agents, they don't have time to sit this guy down and be like, listen, like, this is what you got to do to be successful in this trajectory, And it's more of like, okay, well, we just need X amount of agents that, potentially would then make us X amount of money. That's all they care about, right? So that's what allowed for these discount brokerages to come into play versus, what I've been talking about was like the high value. Like, when you talked about in the beginning, you meet a Vesta agent, they're a Vesta agent because of how professional they are, how they talk, how they present themselves. And that's literally across the board for all of my agents, because, you get one first impression. You know what I mean?
Right. 100% agree with you. That's absolutely right. So let's talk more about, tell us more about sort of your vision. You sort of said the split between the more of like the Redfin model, not to pick on Redfin. They're obviously doing a lot of things really, really well, and they're going to attract that consumer who isn't that interested as full service of an experience as working directly, with a broker who's like a non Redfin agent. Can you talk a little bit more about that and sort of how you encourage your brokers to go out and find those clients that are, wanting to work with a full service agent?
Yeah. So, it goes back to everything that we're about. When you come into my company, you are basically, we have a lot of people that come in and they say, Greg, I want to be successful in real estate. I'm like, okay, cool. Let's start from the very, very, very start, just from the very beginning. So the way that I teach my agents is they start on leasing.
Right.
And the reason is because you have to start the relationship as early as possible before anybody even understands what they're looking for, what they do, real estate investing is, anything like that. Everybody needs a place to live. And the first place that people are going to be looking for generally is renting.
Yes.
So if the way we say it is like, if you help 80 to 100 people rent the first year, every single year, 25% of those people are going to turn into buyers. So if you can get yourself an 80 to 100% kitty of people that you now know when their leases are up, what they're paying in rent, where they're living, and you're staying in touch with them on a regular basis from the customer relationship management tool that we give you, then those people are going to buy through you. So you don't even have to explain value. It's because for us, if you're trying to explain your value, walk out that door.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, you need to build a relationship with your client so that they trust you and they talk to you. And then they come up to you and say, hey, Greg, I'm thinking about buying. What do you think? Not like, hey, Greg, I'm thinking about buying. What are you going to give me?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I remember this goes back many, many years, but when I bought my first condo I was 30, but I was renting all the way to there. And I embarrassingly did not really understand what buying meant, how it was financed. Like, I just didn't know. And I'm a smart enough person, but I just wasn't aware. And nobody had ever come up to me and said, hey, you should probably buy a place. One day I just started, Googling like how it works, how lending works. Yeah. And I truthfully didn't know. And I thought, boy, what a missed opportunity. All somebody ever had to say to me who had helped me find apartments in the past. Other, you know, leasing agents or brokers had helped me in the past. Nobody had ever said, hey, what are you thinking about in a year? You know, once you move in, we should sit and talk about how buying a home works. You can do that, or you can do that in a year. I had no education. And as a result, I probably could have purchased a home years before I did. But I didn't know. And I'm not a complete moron. And I bet you so many people just aren't aware. And so what you're advocating is so important, because yeah, you build a relationship on the leasing, and then you just stay in touch and you're like, hey, we should talk about buying. Huge.
No, so we advocate to our agents, because a lot of people are like, well, I don't want to do rentals. It's like, you know, I'm like, okay, listen, first of all, okay, then go try to sell. Go try to find a buyer that's going to trust you, that, you know, after your first, you know, 3 months into this business, they're going to
spend good luck.
Hundreds of thousands of dollars with you. Good luck with that. But, you know, but besides that, it's like, we tell our agents, we don't want you to be a forever rental agent. That's not our goal here. We don't want you to be doing rentals for the rest of your life. Our goal is to show you how to create a career in real estate, right? Something that no other agency will do, because a lot of people just kind of throw you in and be like, good luck, sink or swim. And what we do is we tell these agents, okay, you're going to be going out with them on showing these beautiful rentals that are going to sell themselves. We show them how to basically close the appointment before they even go out, because I tell them, you're not selling these apartments during the appointment. What you're doing is you're building a relationship, and you're saying, hey, by the way, I can also help you buy. Do you know about that? And then they say, oh, no, I didn't know you could help me buy. And then you start that conversation early. And then we have a whole 12-month touch program that says, basically, at this time, you're going to tell them about buying again. Then you're going to remind them again. This is the time that you're going to set up a coffee to sit down with them to help them buy. It's a proven methodology process that we tell our agents, if you give me 1 year to 18 months, I can guarantee you you're going to have a six-figure income. Just give me 18 months.
Right.
That's what I tell.
And do the work, right? And so it's like, I love that. And it's so great, because we talk to just top producers like yourself, and they, every single top producer is like, it works. This is what you need to do. And oftentimes it's very similar instruction, you know, because top producers do the work, and they're always just shocked when people don't. And so I love that you guys have that plan to convert somebody from renter to buyer, because they're going to be converted anyway, right? So I love that you guys have that touch program. I'll bet you you're probably about the only firm that really has that dedicated sort of structure in place.
I know we are.
And by the way, we mentioned your website. So I forgot to mention the actual domain, the URL. So that it's vestapreferred.com. And again, Gregory's like, look, all of our management relationship rentals, and not just rentals, there's sales on there too, because that's connected to the MLS. But he also has all of his own private, you know, rental database is there. And is there, you know, which I think is incredibly generous. You know, what advice would you have? And I mean, obviously you've already given a lot of great advice, but what advice would you have for, we talked about new brokers, people who are getting in and being able to mold them from the beginning and sort of starting them off on the path to leasing. But what about brokers who are, let's say they're 2 or 3 years in, they haven't yet found that success. Would you encourage them to go back and start looking at leasing?
So, you know, people that have been able to make it to 2 to 3 years in real estate, that says something, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Because for the most part, six months in, 50% turnover, another 6 months, another 50% turnover.
Yeah,
so
good point.
They're the lucky few that, you know, are essentially still in the business. And you have to be doing at least something right that you know, you've been able to stay. Now, be it that, you know, if you've been doing a few sales over the next few years or whatever, I mean, in the last few years, then, you know, that means that you can tell people that they can help you buy. So, but the whole idea with real estate is network. You have to get a monster network, and you got to do it fast. And you have to get in a way where people get to know your name, you start talking to them. And at the end of the day, there's always somebody looking to buy a house every single day.
Sure.
You just got to find them. So the way that I did it, you know, is yes, we did a lot of rentals. We do a lot of advertising. So that's one way to do it. So you can spend a lot of money on these websites, and, you know, you can pay for thousands of dollars to you know, get $3 for every $1 spend, and you're going to be pulling your hair off for making a ton of phone calls. That's one way to do it. Another way is just go out, network, go and meet as many people as possible. Every single person that you see needs a house or a place to live.
Yep.
So you don't know anybody's situation. So, you know, just make sure that you're meeting everybody. And are you, you know, then I have to ask, you know, most people, like, do you have a dedicated way to stay in touch with everybody right. that you have spoken to?
Yes.
Because if you're not making 30 phone calls every single day and reaching out, you know, you're going to stay complete. You're not going anywhere with your business. I can tell you that. Yeah, you got to find that next person. You got to put it every single day. You got to find that next person that's looking to buy, looking to rent, going to be referring you business. That's the whole game.
100% agree with you. And there's, I've always said that the two best assumptions I think as an agent you can make is the people closest to you that know you, you know, your sphere of influence, those are the ones most likely to use you. The second assumption is, and by the way, keep expanding that, meet more people every single day, tell them what you do, give them your elevator pitch. But then the second part, I think, is the second assumption is even more important, which is assume those people are going to forget you're a realtor unless you're constantly making sure they know you're a realtor. So this idea of this, you said, hey, what's your stay in touch process? And I bet 97% of brokers really don't have one that they say, hey, I touch every single one of my sphere, my, you know, 100 people in my database every single month. Here's what I do. I'll bet you most people don't have that. And even if it's just, hey, every day I make 30 phone calls or I write one personal note every single day or whatever it is. Most people don't have that,
You know, the thing is like what I talk to a lot of top producers. I've interviewed a lot of top producers sure. throughout my career. And the thing that I keep getting and I understand, and now that I have, you don't need a monster network
right.
to make this thing work.
Right.
You need 50 to 60 people that are fans. And that means people that are giving you at least 2 to 3 referrals a year. And, you know, it takes a long time to build that fan database. And that's why you're making those phone calls. But if you get 50 to 60 people that constantly remember to tell everyone that they know to use you as their realtor, you will get a referral a week. I can guarantee you that. So, you know, that's the whole game. Real estate is a contact sport. And I love that term. I love saying that. It's a contact sport.
Yes.
You have to make contacts to be successful. And the people that are sitting on the sideline and they think that people are going to come to them, I'll tell you what.
Yeah, they're not.
Keep sitting there because I'm going to steal your clients. I swear to God, I'm going to steal
you're
your
right.
clients. If you do not pick up the phone and you get, if you ever get mad for somebody that you know buying a house, you should only be getting mad at yourself because that means you did not reach out to them.
Agreed. 100% agree. And, you know, or their brother-in-law is a realtor too or whatever, but that's yeah. rare. But you're right. You know, it's funny. Every broker learns that at some point their close friend decides to use somebody else that's not even as close to them as you are. And you're like, I screwed that up. I didn't stay in touch.
Yep.
And I'll never let that happen again.
And just real quick side note, I'm not talking about call them and say, hey, how are ya?
Right.
They say, hey. Listen, did you know about this program, about buying? Like, hey, by the way, you're spending this much on rent. Did you know this is how much you can afford? You got to have value behind what you're talking about. You have to be with that knowledgeable about what you're talking about. So stay on top of current trends. Understand where the new developments are coming. You have to be a valuable resource because somebody that picks up the phone from you and you just say, hey, did you see the latest movie? Like, they're not going to remember that you can help them buy a house.
Right.
You got to have those value touch points when you call them.
100%. I think a lot of times realtors, you know, now in this day and age just go, I'm just going to post like a listing on Facebook. And I'm like, nobody cares. Like you're not really yeah. giving people actual value. I mean, it's fine. It's, hey, look at me. I did something cool. But it's like, or you could contact them if they're a renter and give them information that might encourage them to buy a property. Or, hey, you just helped them find an apartment. Did you ask them if they went and got rental insurance? Well, maybe that's another good reason to call them.
Perfect.
3 weeks in.
Perfect.
There's, yeah, a million good reasons to provide value. And yep. most people don't. So obviously yep. what you guys are doing does. And obviously you've had a tremendous amount of success. So I think we covered it. And really, I can't appreciate the passion more. And you know, you and I feel exactly the same way about this. So I'm so so glad to hear it from someone else. We should talk about, hey, if anyone's out there who's interested, because we have thousands yeah. of people that listen, most of them brokers, if they're interested in learning more about Vesta, you know, what's the best way they yeah. should get in touch?
Yeah, you know, honestly, I'm pretty easy to reach. You know, if you want to, like, on Instagram, I'm GREGPEKARSKY, Greg Pekarsky. I mean, I have an open profile. Just hit me up on there. You know, do you want me to, like, do you want me to send you my email and you can blast it out to
people?
Well, like,
go ahead and provide your email now.
Okay, it's just kind of long. It's that's the only thing. So it's my first initial last name. So G for Greg, P E K A R S K Y. So G Pekarsky, and then it's at VestaPreferred.com. That's V like Victor, E S is in Sam, T A Vesta, and then Preferred.com.
And we will put this in the notes as well, so people can point and click from there to get to the Vesta Preferred website, and also directly to Greg's email. And then if do you want to provide a phone number too, in case anyone wants to reach out?
Yeah, if you want to go, 773-209-9760. That's my direct cell. So, I'm always super happy to talk to people, even if you have questions, you want to, run any questions by me. I'm always happy for that.
Well, this was such a great talk, and I'm so grateful to have you on the show. And we obviously, I'd wish you continued success, but you obviously don't need that. So I would just say keep doing it. And and I know your partner wasn't able to be on the call today, but we appreciate you stepping up and being on the show. So everyone,
no worries, it's okay. I gave you our partner a photo for the actual photo.
We won't crop him out. I'll leave him in the photo.
Yeah. Make sure to keep him in there. He's better looking than me anyway.
Well, Gregory, thanks so much, and again, we appreciate all your time.
All right. Thank you so much, DJ. It was just such a pleasure to be on.